The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Hello, this is Margaret Dixon on Page Turners once again on WTBR 89.7 FM, Pittsfield Radio. And we are continuing with Time in the Gods by Lord Dunsany. We are still at the part, which is the final part in the book, called The King's Journey. And once again, we have the king asking the prophets he's called to his palace how he may cheat death and avoid the afterlife. And once again, they're all telling him, you can't really do that, Your Highness, sorry. So we'll see what he hears from these next few prophets. And it looks like we only have a couple more episodes with Time in the Gods, and then we can start some new stories. It's been quite a journey. All right, so without further ado, let's start part 9 of The King's Journey. Then spake Paharn, a prophet of the land of Hearn, and Paharn said, there was one man that knew, but he stands not here. And the king said, is he further than my heralds might travel in the night if they went upon fleet horses? And the prophet answered, he is no further than thy heralds may well travel in the night, but further than they may return from in all the years. Out of the city there goes a valley wandering through all the world, and opens out at last on the green land of Hearn. On the one side in the distance gleams the sea, and on the other side a forest, black and ancient, darkens the fields of Hearn. Beyond the forest and the sea there is no more, saving the twilight, and beyond that the gods. In the mouth of the valley sleeps the village of Rhestaun. Here I was born, and heard the murmur of the flocks and herds, and saw the tall smoke standing between the sky and the still roofs of Rhestaun, and learned that men might not go into the dark forest, and that beyond the forest and the sea was not saving the twilight, and beyond that the gods. Often there came travelers from the world all down the winding valley, and spake with strange speech in Rhestaun, and returned again up the valley, going back to the world. Sometimes with bells and camels and men running on foot, kings came down the valley from the world, but always the travelers returned by the valley again, and none went further than the land of Hearn. And Kithneb also was born in the land of Hearn, and tended the flocks with me. But Kithneb would not care to listen to the murmur of the flocks and herds, and see the tall smoke standing between the roofs and the sky, but needed to know how far from Hearn it was that the world met the twilight, and how far across the twilight sat the gods. And often Kithneb dreamed as he tended the flocks and herds, and when others slept, he would wander near to the edge of the forest, wherein men might not go. And the elders of the land of Hearn reproved Kithneb when he dreamed. Yet Kithneb was still as other men, and mingled with his fellows, until the day of which I will tell thee, O king. For Kithneb was aged about a score of years, and he and I were sitting near the flocks, and he gazed long at the point where the dark forest met the sea at the end of the land of Hearn. But when night drove the twilight down under the forest, we brought the flocks together to Rhestaun, and I went up the street between the houses to see four princes that had come down the valley from the world, and they were clad in blue and scarlet, and wore plumes upon their heads. And they gave us in exchange for our sheep some gleaming stones, which they told us were of great value on the word of princes. And I sold them three sheep, and Darniag sold them eight. But Kithneb came not with the others to the marketplace where the four princes stood, but went alone across the fields to the edge of the forest. And it was upon the next morning that the strange thing befell Kithneb. for I saw him in the morning coming from the fields, and I hailed him with the shepherd's cry wherewith we shepherds call to one another, and he answered not. Then I stopped and spake to him, and Kithneb said not a word till I became angry and left him. Then we spake together concerning Kithneb, and others had hailed him, and he had not answered them. But to one he had said that he had heard the voices of the gods speaking beyond the forest, and so would never listen more to the voices of men. Then we said, Kithneb is mad, and none hindered him. Another took his place among the flocks, and Kithneb sat in the evenings by the edge of the forest on the plain, alone. So Kithneb spake to none for many days, but when any forced him to speak, he said that every evening he heard the gods when they came to sit in the forest from over the twilight and sea, and that he would speak no more with men. But as the months went by, men in Rustaun came to look on Kithneb as a prophet, and we were wont to point to him when strangers came down the valley from the world, saying, Here in the land of Hearn, we have a prophet such as you have not among your cities, for he speaks at evening with the gods. A year had passed over the silence of Kithneb when he came to me and spake, and I bowed before him because we believed that he spake among the gods. And Kithneb said, I will speak to thee before the end because I am most lonely. For how may I speak again with men and women in the little streets of Rustaun among the houses, when I have heard the voices of the gods singing above the twilight? But I am more lonely than ever Rustaun wots of. For this I tell thee, when I hear the gods, I know not what they say. Well, indeed, I know the voice of each, forever calling me away from contentment. Well, I know their voices as they call to my soul and trouble it. I know by their tone when they rejoice, and I know when they are sad, for even the gods feel sadness. I know when over fallen cities of the past and the curved white bones of heroes they sing the dirges of the gods' lament. But alas, their words I know not, and the wonderful strains of the melody of their speech beat on my soul and pass away unknown. Therefore I traveled from the land of Hearn till I came to the house of the prophet Arnon Yo, and told him that I sought to find the meaning of the gods. And Arnon Yo told me to ask the shepherds concerning all the gods, for what the shepherds knew it was meet for a man to know, and beyond that, knowledge turned into trouble. But I told Arnon Yo that I had heard myself the voices of the gods, and knew that they were there beyond the twilight, and so could never more bow down to the gods that the shepherds made from the red clay which they scooped with their hands out of the hillside. Then said Arnon Yo to me, Natheless, forget that thou hast heard the gods, and bow down again to the gods of the red clay that the shepherds make, and find thereby the ease that the shepherds find, and at last die, remembering devoutly the gods of the red clay that the shepherds scooped with their hands out of the hill. For the gifts of the gods that sit beyond the twilight and smile at the gods of clay are neither ease nor contentment. And I said, The god that my mother made out of the red clay that she had got from the hill, fashioning it with many arms and eyes as she sang me songs of its power and told me stories of its mystic birth. This god is lost and broken, and ever in my ears is ringing the melody of the gods. And Arnon Yo said, If thou wouldst still seek knowledge, know that only those that come behind the gods may clearly know their meaning. And this thou canst only do by taking ship and putting out to sea from the land of Hearn, and sailing up the coast towards the forest. There the sea cliffs turn to the left or southward, and full upon them beats the twilight from over the sea. And there thou mayest come round behind the forest. Here where the world's edge mingles with the twilight, the gods come in the evening. And if thou canst come behind them, thou shalt hear their voices clear, beating full seaward and filling all the twilight with sound of song. And thou shalt know the meaning of the gods. But where the cliffs turn southward, there sits behind the gods Brimdono, the oldest whirlpool in the sea, roaring to guard his masters. Him the gods have chained forever to the floor of the twilight sea, to guard the door of the forest that lieth above the cliffs. Hear then, if thou canst hear the voices of the gods as thou hast said, thou wilt know their meanings clear. But this will profit thee little when Brimdono drags thee down and all thy ship. Thus spake Kithneb to me. But I said, O Kithneb, forget those whirlpool-guarded gods beyond the forest, and if thy small god be lost, thou shalt worship with me the small god that my mother made. Thousands of years ago he conquered cities, but is not any longer an angry god. Pray to him, Kithneb, and he shall bring thee comfort and increase to thy flocks, and a mild spring, and at last a quiet ending for thy days. But Kithneb heeded not, and only bade me find a fisher ship and men to row it. So on the next day we put forth from the land of Hearn in a boat that the fisher folk use. And with us came four of the fisher folk, who rowed the boat while I held the rudder. But Kithneb sat and spake not in the prow. And we rowed westward up the coast till we came at evening where the cliffs turned southward, and the twilight gleamed upon them in the sea. There we turned southwards and saw at once Brimdono. And as a man tears the purple cloak of a king slain in battle to divide it with other warriors, Brimdono tore the sea. And ever around and around him with a gnarled hand, Brimdono whirled the sail of some adventurous ship, the trophy of some calamity wrought in his greed for shipwreck long ago, where he sat to guard his masters from all who fare on the sea. And ever one far-reaching empty hand swung up and down so that we durst go no nearer. Only Kithneb neither saw Brimdono nor heard his roar, and when we would go no further, bade us lower a small boat with oars out of the ship. Into this boat Kithneb descended, not heeding words from us, and onward rowed alone. A cry of triumph over ships and men Brimdono uttered before him, but Kithneb's eyes were turned toward the forest as he came behind the gods. Upon his face the twilight beat full from the haunts of evening to illuminate the smiles that grew about his eyes as he came behind the gods. Him that had found the gods above their twilight cliffs, him that had heard their voices close at last and knew their meaning clear, him from the cheerless world with its doubtings and prophets that lie, from all hidden meanings where truth rang clear, at last Brimdono took. But when Paharn ceased to speak, in the king's ears the roar of Brimdono exulting over ancient triumphs and the whelming of ships seemed still to ring. Well, that was a intense story, as usual. Let's read a little more of the Gods of Pagana, but first, a message from our sponsors.
Whoa, like, what exactly is happening here?
89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs. Greylock Federal, opportunity grows here, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org. Call 413.
We all know WTBR is great to listen to on 89.7 FM, but did you know that you can listen to WTBR just about anywhere? We've got a web stream, and it's easy to use. Go to WTBRFM.com on your computer and click play. You can use the TuneIn app on your smartphone and connect it to your car's sound system. Or you can use your smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, play WTBRFM, and there's your community radio station. WTBR, for the love of radio.
Greetings, this is John Pollock, host of The Jazz Train, which comes your way every Saturday night from 10 to 11:30. The Jazz Train generally features music recorded on a particular calendar date in years past and provides relevant commentary and discographical details. So why not join me for a ride on the Jazz Train for a weekly musical adventure, coming to you on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And we're back. For those just tuning in, this is Margaret Dixon on Page Turners, continuing to read Time and the Gods by Lore Dunsany. We are at the part that is called The King's Journey, the final part of the book, and we are now at part 10. Then Mohantis spake, the hermit prophet, who lived in the deep untraveled woods that seclude Lake Ilana. I dream that to the west of all the seas, I saw by vision the mouth of Moon-Ra-O, guarded by golden gates, and through the bars of the gates that guard the mysterious river of Moon-Ra-O, I saw the flashes of golden barks, wherein the gods went up and down, and to and fro through the evening dusk. And I saw that Moon-Ra-O was a river of dreams, such as came through remembered gardens in the night, to charm our infancy as we slept beneath the sloping gables of the houses of long ago. And Moon-Ra-O rolled down her dreams from the unknown inner land, and slid them under the golden gates and out into the waste, unheeding sea, till they beat far off upon low-lying shores, and murmured songs of long ago to the islands of the south, or shouted tumultuous paeans to the northern crags, or cried forlornly against rocks where no one came, dreams that might not be dreamed. Many gods there be that through the dusk of an evening in the summer go up and down this river. There I saw, in a high bark all of gold, gods of the pomp of cities. There I saw gods of splendor, in boats bejeweled to the keels, gods of magnificence and gods of power. I saw the dark ships and the glint of steel of the gods whose trade was war, and I heard the melody of the bells of silver arow in the rigging of harp strings as the gods of melody went sailing through the dusk on the river of Moon-Ra-O. Wonderful river of Moon-Ra-O! I saw a gray ship with sails of the spider's web, all lit with dewdrop lanterns, and on its prow was a scarlet rooster, with its wings spread far and wide when the gods of the dawn sailed also on Moon-Ra-O. Down this river it is the wont of the gods to carry the souls of men eastward, to where the world in the distant faces on Moon-Ra-O. Then I knew that when the gods of the pride of power and gods of the pomp of cities went down the river in their tall gold ships to take earthward other souls, swiftly adown the river and between the ships had gone in this boat of birch bark the god Tarn, the hunter, bearing my soul to the world. And I know now that he came down the stream in the dusk, keeping well to the middle, and that he moved silently and swiftly among the ships, wielding a twin-bladed oar. I remember now the yellow gleaming of the great boats of the gods of the pomp of cities, and the huge prow above me of the gods of the pride of power, where Tarn, dipping his right blade into the river, lifted his left blade high, and the drops gleamed and fell. Thus Tarn the hunter took me to the world that faces across the sea of the west on the gate of Moon-Ra-O. And so it was there that grew upon me the glamour of the hunt, though I had forgotten Tarn, and took me into mossy places and into dark woods, and I became the cousin of the wolf, and looked into the lynx's eyes, and knew the bear. And the birds called to me with half-remembered notes, and there grew in me a deep love of great rivers and of all western seas, and a distrust of cities, and all the while I had forgotten Tarn. I know not what high galleon shall come for thee, O king, nor what rowers, clad with purple, shall row at the bidding of gods when thou goest back with pomp to the river of Moon-Ra-O. But for me, Tarn waits where the seas of the west break over the edge of the world, and, as the years pass over me, and the love of the chase sinks low. And as the glamour of the dark woods and mossy places dies down in my soul, ever louder and louder lap the ripples against the canoe of birch bark, where, holding his twin-bladed oar, Tarn waits. But when my soul hath no more knowledge of the woods, nor kindred any longer with the creatures of the dark, and when all that Tarn hath given it shall be lost, then Tarn shall take me back over the western seas, where all the remembered years lie floating idly aswing with the ebb and flow, to bring me again to the river of Munra'o. Far up that river we shall haply chase those creatures whose eyes are peering in the night as they prowl around the world, for Tarn was ever a hunter. And that's it for today. Next week will be the conclusion of Time and the Gods, and then we're going to have some new stories. But it's been one heck of a journey, and I've enjoyed going on it with you. And this has been Margaret Dixon on Page Turners, and I will see you next time.